Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1301. And we'll begin with verse 13 and read through verse 22. We'll read the verses responsively. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 13 through 22. A while ago, an announcement was made about Janet Gomez, the Junior 1C girl. If someone could get information to me about the time of surgery and the location of surgery, then I could be of help, I think. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The text verse is that last verse, the 22nd verse. And let's pray. Father, this is indeed your word, and we're thankful that a portion of it tonight will be examined. We're mighty fortunate to have access to copies of thy word, and we're certainly blessed to be able to be in such a church as this. This is the proper environment for our lives, and we pray that you'd help us to be aware of the fact that our privilege is unique. Minister to our spirits, our hearts, our souls, our minds. Give us an openness concerning the preaching of the word tonight, and bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm speaking tonight on the subject, them dry bones. You thought I was going to preach on the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37, but I fooled you. And I want to speak tonight on a story that most of you never heard in your life. Few, if any, understand it. And yet, to me, it's one of the most beautiful stories. And I'll leave a truth or two with you that we need to have ourselves reminded of often. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight. I have some people I sure do love, and I sure would like to help them. Not only tonight, but a long time after my name is on a piece of granite, I sure would like to help them. May I do so tonight, and may I continue to do so through their lifetime after mine is finished. In Jesus' name, amen. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a most interesting... Turn me up just a tad, please. 11th chapter of Hebrews is a most interesting chapter. God goes back in the Old Testament and chooses several people, just a couple dozen at the most, people who exhibited unusual faith in the Old Testament. and list them in this hall of fame of those who have faith. Of all the people of the Old Testament, Joshua was one of those who was chosen. Now this is no surprise. I'm sorry, Joseph. This is no surprise. Because the truth is, Joseph was one of the finest people in all of the Old Testament or in all of the Bible. I don't know of a man of greater character than Joseph. I don't know of anybody in the Bible that I would like for our young people to emulate than Joseph. What a man. But of all the things that Joseph did, the strange thing is what God chose from his life as an example of faith. I mean, the truth is, what God said, he said about Joseph, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, that's strange. By faith, he told them what to do with his stupid bones, or smart bones, whichever the case may be. Why, in the name of common sense, is that the thing that Joseph did that was worthy of recording of all of his life? Why couldn't it said something about his being sold into slavery as a youth? Why couldn't it be said that he was a good son? Why couldn't it be said he forgave his brothers who tried to kill him and decided not to kill him because they could get 20 pieces of silver for him? Why isn't it said that he forgave them and even fed them who tried to kill him? Why isn't it said, by faith, he was the interpreter of dreams? Why isn't it said that by faith he resisted Potiphar's wife, and because he did, even went to jail or prison? And while he was in prison, he served God and was faithful to God. Why doesn't it say, Joseph, if you're going to put him there in the 11th of Hebrews, why doesn't it say, by faith, he, a slave lad from a slave nation, went to another country and worked himself up to a position of second in command? Of all the things that Joseph did, God said, by faith, he told him what to do with his bones. Unusual. Let me explain what happened. Don't miss it. God had promised Abraham that his seed would someday possess the promised land. Now, the land of Canaan, what goes from Mount Hermon up north, all the way down to Kadesh Barnea in the south, it goes from the Nile River on the west, all the way in the east, over to the Tigris and Euphrates River. It encompasses part of Saudi Arabia. It encompasses part of Iraq. It encompasses part of Egypt. And God said to Abraham, that he would give his seed, the Israelites, all that land. He came and said the same thing to Jacob and Isaac. He said first to Abraham, the land is yours. He said to Isaac, the land is yours. He said to Jacob, the land is yours. Now then, the Israelites are not in that land. They're in Egypt. They're slaves in Egypt. And Joseph comes to the place of death. Bible says that in Genesis chapter 50, and I'll read it without your turning to it, verse 25, Joseph is dying now, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. And then it says in verse 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. It didn't say he was put in a grave. He was put in a coffin. Now, interesting thing is this. Joseph said to his people, when he died, I don't want you to bury me. I want you to put me in a coffin, but I want you to keep my bone. I just happen to have Joseph's bones here tonight.
Now, the Israelites, Joseph had a real short leg. Joseph was part cow. They worshiped the sacred cow. That part right there is called the whatchamacallit. And Joseph said, I am indebted to Munster Meat Market for these bones. Wish I could have what was on them. But Joseph said, I want you to not bury me. Put my bones, my body, in a coffin, but don't bury it. Now he said, I want you to take my bones, and I want you to carry them and make them visible everywhere you go. So, they took, this is a coffin right here that I've got. It's the kind they used back in those days. And God bless you, Joseph. The old cow was named Joseph, I think. But they took Joseph's bones and for 200 years these bones were visible to the children of Israel. Everywhere they were, these bones were. For 200 years, well, actually over 260 years, it was about 265 years, between Joseph's death and Joseph's burial. They buried Joseph in the land of Canaan with his fathers, but Joseph died over here 265 years before that in the land of Egypt. Now, let's stop and think about this for a minute. 200 years, they were slaves in Egypt. And there's old Joseph's bones. And he put them somewhere where you could see them. Now, Joseph's bones were visible. Then when all of a sudden, it says in Exodus 13 and 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt because of the Passover lamb, they took Moses, here's old Moses, taking the bones of Joseph. Now to me, I don't carry bones to the airport when I take a trip. But I am getting sort of attached. I may take these tomorrow. But here is Moses. Now, he's leading the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. He takes the bones of Joseph. They come to the Red Sea. He crosses the Red Sea. And he carries the bones of Joseph. He gets out in the wilderness. He keeps the bones of Joseph. He comes to the Kadesh Barnea, the door of the promised land, and he keeps the bones of Joseph. They refuse to go in the promised land, and they turn back for 40 years. In the wilderness, they wander. And they kept the bones of Joseph all that time. Then they went across the Jordan River 40 years later, and they had and Moses gave the bones of Joseph to Joshua, and now Joshua has the bones of whoever these bones are, of Joseph, and so they come to the city of Jericho, and they march around Jericho once a day for 6 days and seven times the seventh day, and guess what they carried? The bones of Joseph, them dry bones. I was asking one of the men a while ago, what's connected to the ankle bone? He said, for a woman, it's the jawbone. He said, every bone of a woman's connected to the jawbone. And I'm not going to tell you because Tim Sharp's wife, she's not here tonight. She's home with the new baby. But it is a good thought. But anyway, the bones of Joseph, they go inside the promised land. They go down the city of Jericho. They go to the little city of Ai. And they stay with the people, visible to the people, for almost 265 years. When Joshua settles in the promised land and wins the victories and finally dies. You'll find in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, you'll find that then they buried the bones of Joseph in Shechem near his father. Now, what is the purpose? Why did Joseph say, don't bury my bones? Why did Joseph say, I want you to keep my bones and take them everywhere you go? Now, in the first place, I want to tell you what it was not. It was not because Joseph wanted to be buried in the land of Canaan. If that's the case, they could have carried the bones immediately over there and buried him. That's what they did to Jacob. Jacob asked that he be buried with his fathers, and they took Jacob's body over and buried Jacob immediately in the land of Canaan. Now then, why did Joseph want his bones with the children of Israel all the way from the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, and for 265 years, these bones were visible to the people of God? I'll tell you exactly why. Joseph wanted his bones to keep preaching after he was gone. Joseph wanted the people to remember what he had taught them while he was alive. And so Joseph, when Joseph's bones were visible, he was, by the way, this is it. Joseph was concerned about the next generation. Let me tell you something. I can tell you what kind of character you've got, whether you live for your generation or the next generation. I can tell you what kind of character you've got, whether you live for yourself or for the next generation. My Bible says we're supposed to take that which was given us from holy men of old, and we're to give that to the next generation. I'm to take what the past generation gave me. And by cracking, and the Bible says give them exactly what I got. I got a King James Bible. I plan to hand it down to the next generation. I got a heaven that has golden streets. I plan to hand it down to the next generation. I got a doctrine of a hell that has fire. I plan to hand it down to the next generation. I got some convictions and standards that I plan to hand down to the next generation. J.C. Sizemore, my old preacher, and Forrest McElroy, my old preacher, and Dr. John Rice and a few others, they gave me some things as a young preacher. And I have no right to turn around and give to these young preachers at Howells Anderson College anything other than what they gave me. They gave me that Bible, I'll hand down that Bible. They gave me the fact that drinking liquor is a sin. I don't care if it's martini, I don't care if it's beer, I don't care if it's one sip, or I don't care if it's a gallon. They handed me down it was a sin, and I plan to hand it down to the next generation that it was a sin. They taught me, they handed down to me that women wearing shorts in public was a sin. And bless God, I plan to hand that same thing down to the next generation. They handed down to me that men ought to get haircuts. And bless God, I'm going to hand that down to the next generation. They handed down to me that women are not supposed to wear pants. And I'm going to hand it down to the next generation. And you can like it, lump it, laugh at it, cry about it, get mad, vote me out, vote me in, keep me here. I plan to hand down to these young men on this platform and young preachers in Howells Anderson College the very same thing they handed down to me. My Bible says I'm only a custodian of what was handed down and handed down and handed down and handed down till it got to me. And brother, I'm sick and tired of a bunch of pussyfooting preachers, compromising preachers. Because the world changes, they change their preaching. Because the world changes, they change their standards. Because the world changes, they change their doctrine. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart. This one old man's going to keep on handing down exactly what he got half a century ago. I'm sick of preachers getting my age and quitting. I'm sick of preachers getting my age and changing. I'm sick of preachers telling their people that they won't apologize because they've been preaching too strict and too hard. Let me tell you something. America was built on that Bible, and she'll crumble if she leaves that Bible. America was built on a heaven that has golden streets, a hell that has fire, a sin that was black, an eternity that was long. And if America stands, she'll stand on the same principle she was built on. And Joshua said, I know I'll be gone. I'll be in heaven. But I want to still remind you after I'm gone what I stood for. 8,400. Burr Street, out in Crown Point, Indiana, there's a college. That college, a long time after this voice is silenced, and these arms are crossed across my breast, a long time after this tongue is stilled, a long time after this body is resting out yonder in the mausoleum in our cemetery, bless God, that college be speaking what Jack Hiles taught at that college. And no professor in that college, no teacher in that college has any right to teach anything other than what it was started to teach. You have no right to teach what Brother Hiles doesn't believe, and by a cracker you won't. One of us will be getting gone. One of us will get fired. One of us will get booted out. I'm telling you, you have no right to come and change what Hiles Anderson College was started for. Hiles Anderson College was founded for a purpose. It's not Bob Jones North, Tennessee Temple, Midwest. It's Hiles Anderson College only. And it was started to save this country. It was started to send out a bunch of old-fashioned hell-raising, barnstorming, wind-rattling, shingle-pulling, hell-fire and damnation preachers to take the old-time religion that was handed down by our forefathers and carried over here and handed down to the next generation. And that college is out there because Brother Hiles is concerned not just about his generation and his fun and his pleasure and his laughter and his delight and his joy. He's concerned about your generation. And I've carried, please don't feel sorry for me, but you keep the thing like it ought to be. I've carried the load by myself, basically. I've sat in my office and wondered how to pay the bills. It's a miracle. We've never been one day late on a pay time. Never one day. Not one person in 22 years has ever gotten his paycheck one day late. God has provided. But I'll tell you one thing. I've sat in my study and prayed and begged and cried and pleaded for God to give us enough money to pay the salaries on the first of the month. Praise God, He's always done it. But I'm saying, I don't have to do that. I'm 68 years old. I can go to Florida. I can go to Southern California. I can get me a shuffleboard. I can play golf. I'm old enough to retire. I don't have to do it. But I'm not living for my generation. I'm not living for my fun. I'm not living for my pleasure. I'm not living for my joy. I'm not living for my happiness. I'm living so this boy and this girl and this young lady and that little girl and that boy and young people and you college students will have a decent world to live in and a decent place to train your own children when your generation grows older and I'm gone. Hiles Anderson College is the same thing that the bones of Joseph were. A reminder. A reminder of all that Joseph stood for. And Hiles Anderson College is a reminder of all that Brother Hiles has stood for. Brother, I'll be up in heaven. The first time some little female shows her thighs on the campus of Hiles Anderson College, if I can go over and hold that lightning stick, I'm going to pull it. If I can get my hands on that tornado stick, I'm going to pull it. If I can get my hands on that hurricane stick, I'm going to pull it and burn every building and blow every building down and destroy every building. And I'll tell you what, I'm sick and tired of fundamentalists starting schools and the liberals taking them over. I'm sick of it. Now you sit there and say amen. What you ought to do also is you help me see to it. It doesn't change. Out on Joliet Street, Sheriff Hill, there are hundreds of students will be there tomorrow morning. Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, Hammond Baptist Grade School. All of those are exactly, to me, what the bones of Joseph were to Egypt or Israel. Every time when I'm gone, you pass by that place out there. You remember Brother Hiles shed his blood to keep that thing open out there. Joseph wanted God to let the Israelites see his bones so he could preach to them while he was gone. over 800 preachers and missionaries are scattered around this world that are my preacher boys. Last thing I did when I stood a while ago to preach, as I do every time I preach, God bless my preacher boys tonight while they're preaching. Always say it. All over this country, those preacher boys are preaching what Brother Hiles has taught them to preach. They're preaching what they're trained. You say, Brother Hiles, you think we're supposed to leave here and preach what you've told us to preach? You got it right. Because I got it from somebody and I haven't changed it. I'm preaching the same thing that J. Frank Norris preached. I'm preaching the same thing that Billy Sunday preached. I'm preaching the same thing our founding fathers, and I got it from. I haven't changed it. I have improved only because you can't improve on it. And you are supposed to preach exactly what I've handed to you. You say, where's my freedom? Your freedom is to get out and go to some liberal college, but don't ruin ours. You're free to go start yourself a liberal high school, but don't ruin ours. Some of you folks can't wait till the old man dies. So you can wear what you want to wear. But brother, they're going to be playing my tapes all over this area. I'm going to have a network of tapes. Wherever you go, in every department store, old Hiles is screaming and hollering, throwing a fit. I'm leaving something. I'm not going to leave my generation and let yours go to the devil.